Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Caroline Fenton is here with us 1 hour from now, or apparently not. We were going to talk to Matt Miller from ESPN. Apparently we are not now, which I have my issues with later. But anywho, we've got a lot of NFL draft discussion to get into. And I pulled up Dane Brugler's mock draft at The Athletic. He's got a 7-round mock draft. Now, I'm not going to sit here and badmouth mock drafts, because one time I did that, I got in a lot of trouble. And I'll explain off the air how that happened. But, Ian, I think you remember it all too well. But mock drafts are not the end-all be-all. But I wanted to do this exercise, and I learned a lot from this exercise, where he's got 7 rounds. And I figure, no knocking Dane Brugler, who knows these prospects way better than I do, but I think I know the Titans better than he does. So I'm sitting down in his position. I put myself in the Titans' position at each spot on the board. Now, I already knew who he was going to pick because I'd already read the article before. But one thing that when I did the exercise that I wanted to make sure that I didn't do was I wanted to make sure that I didn't look forward to see who would be available with my next pick. And that kind of threw me for a loop. Because if I know there's going to be corners still available with my second pick or my third pick, then it makes it easier for me to narrow down what I want to take with my first pick. So I couldn't do that. I would not let myself do that. I'll be honest, after the exercise, I didn't give myself do-overs either. Like, I didn't let myself draft somebody in the third round, then go back and say, well, now I don't need this in the second round. Let me draft this guy instead. Because you don't get that luxury when you're picking on draft day. So without further ado, we'll go over his 7-round mock draft with my picks in it, and we start at number 22 overall in the first round. Dane Brugler picks Christian Barmore, the defensive tackle out of Alabama. Off the board, potential Titans targets, Zaven Collins goes at 15 to New England. Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma State, goes at 20 to Chicago, can't take him. And Jalen Phillips, the pass rusher from Miami, goes at 21 to Indianapolis. He goes Christian Barmore. I go Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia. He projects as a younger Yannick Ngakoue. And remember, Ngakoue's kind of slowed down in terms of productivity, but when he was with the Jags and he was next to Calais Campbell, Yannick Ngakoue gave the Titans nightmares. Put him next to Jeffrey Simmons. Put him next to Denico Autry. He led the SEC in sacks. He's a perfect 3-4 outside edge rusher. I know they've signed Bud Dupree, but he's coming off of an injury. Harold Landry is a free agent at the end of the year. I just think you can never have enough pass rushers. To me, it's the second most important thing behind quarterback. So even though you can say bigger need here, you could have gone with Greg Newsome with that pick. You could have gone with Elijah Moore with that pick. You could have gone with anybody else. I went with Azeez Ojulari at 22 and Dane Brugler's mock draft.
Yeah, and I think one important thing to point out, too, is Elijah Moore, he picked at 25. Greg Newsome, he picked at 26. Rashad Bateman, he picked at 27. So no matter which direction the Titans choose to go in this draft, there are going to be options.
That takes us to the second round. He goes Joseph Asai, outside linebacker, Texas. Now, Teron Davenport doesn't like Joseph Asai. I don't know enough about him, but gone. Kadarius Toney goes at 51 to Washington, wide receiver. Gregory Rousseau at 42 to the Giants. And Kelvin Joseph, a corner, because corner's important, goes at 49 to Arizona. This is where I went wide receiver. I don't, you know, 22, I have a hard time wide receiver. Even Elijah Moore, I have a hard time. I go Rondale Moore, Purdue. With that pick in the second round, Brugler's got him ranked as the 8th overall wide receiver. He projects purely as a slot. I think that's going to scare some teams away because they're going to say, hey, if I'm going to take a guy this high or I'm going to take a guy in the first round, I need him to be an outside guy. I don't want him to be a slot guy. Also, on his pro day, he ran a 4.31 40 speed. I don't believe that time, but I do believe that he's pretty fast. So that's where I go wide receiver is I go Rondale Moore, which then throws off the whole board, including the third round, which I want to get to next. The third round was the toughest one for me at 85. Here's where it's tough, and here's where knowing the draft becomes important. The Titans need a tight end, but you're picking at 85, the back end, of the third round. Tommy Trimble is gone on Dane Brugler's mock draft, 63 to Carolina. Brevin Jordan out of Miami is gone at 74 to Washington. He goes 2-2 Atwell, slot wide receiver out of Louisville. He goes 2-2 Atwell in the third round. Well, I don't need 2-2 Atwell because I just drafted Rondale Moore. So I go Kendrick Green, a guard slash center out of Illinois. Now, there are other names, Wyatt Davis, who's more of a pure guard, who's available out of Ohio State. And then there's Stone Forsythe, who's a tackle out of Florida. And remember, Taylor Lewan, this is the last year that they're really tied to Lewan. But I go with a guard slash center, Kendrick Green, out of Illinois. He's the fourth-ranked center in this class. He was a three-year starter at Illinois, and he projects as a starter at all three interior line positions. Ben Jones is a free agent after the end of the year. Roger Saffold, I think, is like a $12.5 million cap hit next year. You could cut Roger Saffold. You could move Kendrick Green into that spot. You could keep Saffold at that big salary after the end of this year. Put Kendrick Green in as starter at center in place of Ben Jones, who's not getting any younger, who's not getting any cheaper. I went with Kendrick Green, the guard center out of Illinois in the third round. Maybe the riskiest pick, but if the tight ends are gone, I'm not reaching for one. I got to take a corner, right?
Yeah.
Like at this point, fourth pick, third round, number 100, he goes Robert Rochelle, the corner out of Central Arkansas. I will stay with that pick. Robert Rochelle. I have to go corner. And this is where the needs. I hate picking for need. I hate picking for need. I do. I hate it, Caroline. But I picked for need here because I had to pick a corner.
Picking for need in the fourth round. Don't hate it.
Well, it's the third round.
Late in the third round.
It is late in the third round. I would agree. I would say this, though. After doing the exercise, and again, I hate, you know, saying that I did the exercise, so now I know. I think I would have traded both third-round picks to move up to get a tight end. So if I can take my two third-round picks and move all the way up to the top of the third round and get the best tight end off the board, I think that's where I would fill that need. Or maybe a corner there or something. But yeah.
I would say there you would need to fill it with a corner or tight end.
You definitely got to go corner at some point, which takes us to the fourth round. Dane Brugler mocks Hunter Long, the tight end out of Boston College. Makes sense to me. He's got Vrabel ties. He was productive. Blocker first. Makes sense. I went with Shakur Brown, the corner out of Michigan State. I like speed guys at corner. And again, I know I need a corner. So I'm taking Robert Rochelle at the end of the third round. I need to take one in the fourth round, too, just to give me better odds of actually hitting on that pick with that corner. So I go Shakur Brown out of Michigan State. DJ Daniel out of Georgia was also a consideration there. Which takes us all the way to the fifth round. Let me start by saying when we get to the fifth round, there's no way I know these guys like Dane Brugler, Mel Kiper, even TD. You know, the way these guys, those guys that do it with the way they know it, there's no way I know about it. But he goes Dan Moore Jr., a tackle out of Texas A&M. I double down on edge rusher. Jonathan Cooper, Ohio State. He was a team captain at Ohio State. He had 6.5 sacks in 2018. We know he fits the scheme. Kerry Coombs, former Titans secondary coach, is the DC at Ohio State. He knows Vrabel, who I believe was part of recruiting him or football camps or something like that. And again, it's the fifth round. So it's not like there's a high, you know, it's not like there's a high bar for him to pass for it to be a decent fifth round pick. You know, loves ball. We need guys who love ball, loves ball, loves ball, loves ball. Team captain at Ohio State, went through all the injuries he went. Ohio State guy, we know Vrabel loves him. I go Jonathan Cooper in the fifth round. Just another pass rusher. So I double down on pass rusher.
And I think since it's such a valuable position and it's a position that the Titans previously haven't really utilized, you need depth at that position. You need just someone that can be there in case there's a Bud Dupree injury, knock on wood, in case something weird happens. You just have to have depth in that position if you want to see this defense improve.
So once I got to the sixth round, I went full on need. Evan McPherson is who Dane Brugler picks, the kicker out of Florida. I don't. I go Nick Neiman, a linebacker out of Iowa. He's the top inside linebacker left on the board. I go with Nick Neiman because I think the Titans have had success in the later rounds drafting inside linebackers who are special teams players who then find their way onto the defense. Jayon Brown did it under John Robinson. David Long Jr. did it under John Robinson and really played a lot last year. Rashawn Evans, they're going to decline the fifth-year option. He'll be a free agent at the end of the year. Jayon Brown is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Those are two inside linebackers you have to replace. I get a tough Big Ten kid, Nick Neiman, the linebacker out of Iowa. Again, Dane Brugler goes with the kicker from Florida. Here's where I disagree with this. Not that the sixth round is a big value pick or anything, but, I mean, every kicker you draft could be awesome. They could stink. Roberto Aguayo made every kick in college at Florida State. The Bucs used a second-round pick on him. He couldn't kick in the NFL. So to me, I just say, hey, I'll maybe draft a guy in the seventh round or something with that pick so that I can get the best free agent that would be out there, but I'm not going to take a guy, pass on a guy who could be starting for me next year just so I can take a kicker because I do need a kicker.
I take you, your linebacker, and I raise you a corner. So the Titans pick 205 in this round. Dane Brugler has 198, Kerry Vincent Jr. to the Chargers. I would say, if let's say he's still there at 205, I think the Titans have to take Kerry Vincent Jr.
Although, for this exercise, he's not available.
He's not available, but
I can't trade.
If he is available at 205, and if he's available at 198, the odds of him sliding down to 205, I would say, are fairly high, maybe. So I would say that if he is available at 205, you take Kerry Vincent.
So I thought about getting the Jimmy Johnson trade chart out, mm-hmm. and I thought about like trying to make my own trades, and then I was like, no, that's too much.
It's a
like,
lot.
That's too much. But I hear you. That takes us to pick number 215, also in the sixth round. Dane Brugler has Richard LeCount, a player in the secondary out of Georgia, a DB at 215. Jared Stillman goes Patrick Johnson, an edge rusher out of Tulane. He was too good on the board for me to pass up. Patrick Johnson is undersized, and he's not big, he's not fast, he's not all the things that get you drafted high. He's none of those things. 10 sacks last year at Tulane. He's a three-year starter. As a sophomore, he had 10.5 sacks. He's a three-time All-AAC performer. I'm in the sixth round, and I can get a guy who had 10 sacks last year in college and had 10.5 sacks in another season. I was stunned he was on the board. I know I've already got two edge rushers, but I'm getting a 10-sack guy in the sixth round. I'm making the pick. And then that takes us to our final pick at 232. In the seventh round from the Miami Dolphins, acquired in the Isaiah Wilson trade, he goes Sage Surratt, wide receiver out of Wake Forest. Didn't he play some quarterback for them?
I want to say he did.
I think
like
he
filled
did.
In for a few snaps.
I think he played. I don't know. I put best kicker available. So that's where I'm taking the best kicker, and I guess I came up with Riley Patterson out of Memphis. I can't tell you anything about Riley Patterson other than he kicks for Memphis. And I was going to, like, look up his stats and whatnot, but then I was like, eh. Brugler's got him ranked as the best kicker available at that point. So I'm going with Riley Patterson out of Memphis. Best kicker available because I am drafting a kicker. I'm just not doing it in the sixth round. So there you go. The final totals, three pass rushers in this draft. Ojulari in the first round. Jonathan Cooper, Ohio State. Patrick Johnson, Tulane. Two corners, although kind of late. One wide receiver, Rondale Moore, in the second round. One inside linebacker in the sixth round, in the sixth round out of Iowa. One kicker in the seventh round, and a guard/center in the third round. I learned a lot, by the way, from this exercise about how you can't go back and say, oh, well, now that I can get this guy, I wish I could go back and get Greg Newsome in the first round to play corner instead, because if I knew I could get Patrick Johnson, then I wouldn't take Ojulari in the first round. You don't get to do that when you're on the clock.
Drafting in hindsight would be really, really easy.
Oh, if you knew it was going to be there in the second round. Oh, so here's what I wanted to do. Those are my picks. And again, there's no way the board will fall this way. Some of these guys I picked won't be there. I mean, I was a little stunned. I was a little surprised that Rondale Moore was there at 53. I was a little surprised that Tutu Atwell, now I wasn't going to draft him, but that he was there in Dane Brugler's mock at 85. So the board will not fall this way. But coming up next, we get your thoughts on my mock draft, 615-737-1025. But I let Caroline and Ian pick it apart. So now you guys get to complain about my picks. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. We're streaming on the Game National app.
How different is your draft board right now, 2 weeks out from the draft, than in normal years at this time?
Yeah, I think that there's some guys that we're still trying to clean up, for lack of a better term, waiting on our medical staff to compile all of the data that they had at Indy from the checks. I think it was a week ago. Still having some virtual meetings with players, talking to those guys. We're calling college coaches. We just wrapped up meetings with our coaching staff. We're meeting with our scouting staff. You know, we're still fine-tuning and tweaking, and we will do so, you know, leading up to the draft in 2 weeks.
There you go, John Robinson. I think he's going to say that every time. You know, we're fine-tuning, we're tweaking, we're this, we're that. So my seven-round mock draft, again, I took Dane Brugler's mock draft. He's got a seven-round mock draft in The Athletic, and I put myself in the Titans' position every time. So I couldn't affect who everybody else took. Like, I couldn't worry about, okay, well, they took this guy at 19, and I wanted him to go to the Titans, so I can't do that. Guy's gone. Can't pick him. So here you go. Azeez Ojulari, Georgia, in the first round. Rondale Moore, wide receiver out of Purdue in the second round. Kendrick Green, center guard, Illinois, in the third round. Robert Rochelle, corner, in the third round. Shakur Brown, corner, in the fourth round. Jonathan Cooper, edge, Ohio State, in the fifth round. Nick Neiman, inside linebacker, Iowa, in the sixth round. Patrick Johnson, edge, out of Tulane, in the sixth round. And Riley Patterson, kicker, out of Memphis, in the seventh round. Caroline Fenton, Ian Zafar, the floor is yours. Your reaction to my seven-round mock, what did you like? What did you not like?
I like the first round. I think if Azeez Ojulari is there at 22, you have to take him. The Titans need so much help on defense, and I think that he is going to be one guy. Maybe he can't make an immediate impact, but he's going to be a reliable linebacker that you can have in your bench that you can rely on him to be for the pass rush. Second round, I think I got to go corner. If there's a decent corner available, I think I have to go corner. You went wide receiver Rondale Moore out of Purdue, and I think that he would be a good fit. I just think I'm prioritizing defense in this draft.
So I think you've got to trade down because – I looked at it saying, hey, if I'm passing on Greg Newsom, I need a corner. Like, I need a corner to come out right then and there. And I sat there and I didn't want to go wide receiver. I know I've got to go wide receiver at some point. I didn't want to go wide receiver. But the corners that are sitting there, Kelvin Joseph, who I would have taken over Rondale Moore, the corner out of Kentucky, goes off the board at 49. I thought about Ifeatu Melifonwu, the corner out of Syracuse, and Elijah Molden. This is what was tough, was he's got Dane Brugler, Elijah Molden, the corner out of Washington, off the board at 57. TD loves Elijah Molden. I thought about Elijah Molden with that pick. But Rondale Moore is that playmaker slot that I'm not taking in Elijah Moore in the first round, but I know makes an immediate impact. So it was between Elijah Molden, Ifeatu Melifonwu, the two corners, and Rondale Moore. I went Rondale Moore just because I know the player. And I think Rondale Moore, I don't think he's going to be a superstar. I think he's going to be like Randall Cobb. Like, I think he's going to be a really good NFL player for a long time. That's why I picked him.
Yeah, I think that he would be... It's tough because this is such a deep wide receiver draft, but you look at the big name guys, they're all going within the top 20, top 25. So, yeah, you have to go for a guy that may not be a superstar right now but is reliable. I just think that corner position is more valuable than the wide receiver position. And Dane Brugler mocked Tutu Atwell in the third round. And I think if Tutu Atwell is available in the third, you got to go corner in the second and then address those wide receiver
needs. But you're not going to know who's there.
You're not going to – based off of this.
That goes back to the exercise. You're not going to know. I would agree. If I know Tutu Atwell is there at 85, maybe I pass on Rondale Moore in the second round. But John Robinson is not going to know if that guy's going to be there in the third round. I mean, Robinson took a huge risk last year when he needed a corner and he went tackle in the first round, then waited with that pick that they ended up using on Christian Fulton, because Jalen Johnson went off the board to Chicago and Trayvon Diggs went off the board to Dallas. That was the hardest part of the exercise, to your point. I knew who Brugler was going to pick ahead of time.
Right.
So I had an idea. It was hard with that pick not to go corner there, knowing you can go Atwell in the third round. I don't think Atwell is going to be there at 85. Also, I don't like Atwell. I don't think he catches the ball enough. And I don't like receivers who can't catch. So I went Rondale Moore, but I hear what you're saying. Certainly, we would look back on it after the draft, and we would think to ourselves, wait a minute. Why did you take Rondale Moore in the second round when you could have taken the starting corner right there, not screwed around with the other two corners that you drafted, hoping that one of them pans out? I totally hear you. I totally understand. I just felt like that wouldn't be right for the point of the exercise.
Right. It is so easy to say, oh, okay, well, you know, he mocked a wide receiver in the third round, so there'll be a great wide receiver available, but you never really know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I said, I just am prioritizing the defense. But I want to hear what Ian thinks.
Well, the only thing I would say is I don't see a tight end.
That was definitely...
That's a problem.
That really bothered me after the fact.
So, you know, I don't really know much about the third round center guard combo. I like that he can play both. You know, took Nate Davis, what, a few 6 weeks or so to get rolling. He was a third round pick. Granted, it was Charlotte and not... You know, more of a top Illinois, it was a Power Five school. So that, you know, would be something I would probably have to take a look at if you want to go offensive line in the third round there. And then tight end, you know, would be the other position of need, even though we don't really technically like drafting for need. But I would like to see a tight end sprinkled in there somewhere.
So when I did the draft, the one thing I told myself is I would rip my own ass about not drafting a tight end.
Yeah.
Where it got me was Tommy Trimble at 73, the tight end out of Notre Dame. That's who I want.
And Brevin Jordan is available mid-third round.
Goes at 74.
Right.
So you can't pick him at 53. You cannot take the 73rd best player in the draft with the 53rd pick. But if you don't take him, they're not going to be there at 85. And that was where I was like, man, that's a tough spot.
Unless... you draft down in the first round and pick up an early third round pick.
So again, I thought about taking out the Jimmy Johnson trade chart and trying to do this. And we don't know what teams are going to accept or what teams are going to be okay with. I believe the Titans either have to move down in the second round into the third and add a couple of picks, move down in the first round. I mean, I think they need to, as I've said all along, I think there are, you know, those four top 100 picks, the first, the second, and the two thirds. Those have to be starters, not day one starters, but they have to ultimately become starters. I think the Titans are better suited to move down at some point and add an extra pick into that group so that you can now, if you're looking for four starters, you get five cracks at it. But if you do it, Aziz Ojulari may not be there. Or Gregory Newsom II out of Northwestern may not be there. So if you move down in the first round, then you can probably address the wide receiver position with somebody better than Rondale Moore, who I took in the second round. But it's hard when you can't make trades to try to figure out, okay, you know, because I do. I mean, I think I circle the top of the first round, and that's where I see Tommy Trimble going, and that's where I see Brevin Jordan going. I'm not very interested in Brevin Jordan. He's a project to me. But I am interested in Tommy Trimble as kind of a block first, catch second tight end that can come in and become, you know, Aaron Kinney was a guy the Titans had a long time ago who kind of played that role really well. But I agree with you guys. I mean, Ian, I think you're dead on that there's no tight end there. And when I did it and I wrote it all out, again, I said to myself, I go, I would rip my butt if this is what the Titans draft and there's not a tight end there. I guess I'm giving sympathy because it's harder when you're actually trying to do it.
It is really hard. And I think, too, like, I am forcing defense so much in this draft, but I also have to remind myself that the Titans had to give up a lot of offensive assets to build up their defense. So, you know, you're looking at what, Anthony Firkser at tight end. I don't feel great about that being your starting tight end.
Yeah, he can't block.
Right. So you need, there are, you know, trying to build up the defense, like, you still have, the Titans have created so many needs on offense as well, and it's hard to balance those two, especially when you can't trade.
615-737-1025. I see the text line is a-flowing on my mock draft. We will get your reaction. Text and calls. Again, I go heavy at the edge rusher department. Maybe a little too heavy, but I go heavy at the edge rusher department. I get two corners, one in the third, one in the fourth, so probably not a day one starter at corner, and I don't get a tight end. How bad? This should be a question for the callers and the texters. How bad would Jared kill himself if he drafted that way? But it's all part of it. We'll get your reaction coming up next. 615-737-1025. Unfortunately, Matt Miller, ESPN, not going to be able to join us at 4 o'clock. Would have been nice to know that ahead of time. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of the draft, don't miss Nashville's best draft coverage on Thursday, April 29th and Friday, April 30th on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. And be sure to join us on site. The first time we've done that in a long time. Be sure to join us on site as we'll be broadcasting live on Thursday, April 29th from Third and Home, Germantown's Bar with a Ballpark, and on Friday, April 30th from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mike, how much more helpful was it to you to get back on college campuses and have those pro days?
Well, we were able to do a little bit, but I think it was vastly different than what it had been in the past. We enjoy it. I think that we do. But I think that we have also gotten a lot done virtually. I think that we are, I feel like we're ahead of where we were last year as far as just, you know, our communication, our meetings with our coaches, hearing them talk about the players, how they see them. But I do think that getting out there and being with the players is critical. It's fun. It's something that we enjoy. But I do feel like our coaches, being able to meet with them and then come back and meet with our scouts and John's staff has been great.
There you go. That was Vrabel on the draft. And again, they're not going to tell you anything crazy. Somebody tweeted me in reference to my 7-round mock draft and goes, "This is pretty bad, Jared." What is that, like the Mel Kiper Jr. mock draft grades that come out? I mean, do not get me started on grading a draft the Monday after the draft. Because anytime somebody says, like somebody gives me a grade on a draft, and they'll say, "Well, I saw CBS gave the Titans a B+. First of all, every draft is in the like A- to C+ range. There is nobody who gets a D, there is nobody who gets an F, and there's nobody who gets an A+. And I just argue that anytime somebody asks me about draft grades, I just say F. Titans get an F. What do you mean they get an F? They get an F. Well, how can they get an F? Tell me how they can't get an F. Tell me why they, give me something that tells me why they shouldn't get an F.
I also don't think it's fair to grade a draft before they've even played a snap on that team.
That's the point.
Yeah.
I just think it's stupid. Now, do I think I did a good job drafting? No, not really. But I try to stay true to the exercise, which was not look down, not force positions. I mean, guys that are picked around where they are on the boards. Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Our text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline, what is in the text line?
One texter says, "I disagree with your first pick after last year. I want to stay away from Georgia." And I think that's a pretty dangerous way of thinking. Whatever happened with Isaiah Wilson this year has nothing to do with Georgia.
Yeah, whenever I hear that, and it's like, well, we need to stay away from that school, I think that's how Trent Richardson busting out as the third overall pick with Cleveland is how Derrick Henry lasts until the second round. Because for years, it was, hey, don't take the big, powerful running backs from Alabama because Cleveland took Trent Richardson, and Trent Richardson was a bust. And because Trent Richardson was a bust, Derrick Henry must also be a bust too. And I'm like, that's not how that works. And just because Derrick Henry's a great player doesn't mean that Bo Scarborough has become a great player in the NFL. That's not how it works. I mean, I would argue don't even do that for quarterbacks at certain schools who play for the same coach. Heath Shuler was a bust. You want to not draft Peyton Manning? No. So, yeah, I know that there are going to be some Titans fans that are worried about Georgia, and I get it. Now, they need to understand the process of where they screwed up, because they did. They need to understand that process, but I don't think that they need to not scout a school that has literally 10 NFL prospects every draft. We can't just start writing schools off because this guy was a nut. You can't do that.
Especially a defensive player who played for one of the best defenses in the SEC this past year.
Yes.
Another texter said, if you're willing to trade down in the first round to pick up extra picks to get a wide receiver, then why not just draft wide receiver in the first round?
Because I need to eventually get a second or third round corner. I mean, the question about trading down, and we talked about this at length. Let me pull up this paper. We talked about this at length on Friday. And we can go through the Jimmy Johnson trade chart and kind of work out the numbers. But, and every team uses a different value chart. But we can just use the Jimmy Johnson one because we have it at our disposal. When New England traded out of 23 last year, they got a second and a third, 37-71 from the Chargers. I don't mind that. Because if you trade out of 22 and you pick up a high second and a high third, you're going to get your wide receiver. But you're also going to be able to use your second round pick on a corner. And then that point of the 71, you know, at the third, Brugler, I think, has Tommy Trimble tied in at 73, Brevin Jordan tied in at 74. If you get that extra third at 71, there's your tight end. But at the same time, I'm thinking quality here. Edge rusher is important to me because they just haven't been able to get it right. And it's important to me because it's a premium position. I'm told by multiple people that Ojulari checks the boxes. If you don't take Ojulari at 22, you will not be able to get Ojulari later unless you get lucky.
Yeah, I agree. And another texter says, what about corner? Why are we not thinking about a corner in the first round? He thinks that that's a more quality position than edge.
So to that point, I mean, I took you through the thinking of why I went Ojulari in the first round. The texter asks, why weren't you thinking corner in the first round? I got to be honest with you. I think I was thinking corner in the first round. I mean, I'm sitting there on the board. And I'm saying, I see Gregory Newsom there still available. I know I can't get J.C. Horn. I know I can't get Caleb Farley. I know I can't get Patrick Surtain II. I know I can't get those guys. But I see these other guys that are still there. And I feel like I could get Newsom with the first round pick. I just think that Ojulari is a better player. I think Ojulari is, I think he's a legit pass rusher. And that's something like Harold Landry, in my opinion, is not a legit pass rusher. He's a guy. He's good. He's a starter. But he's not a legit go-get-em guy. I think Ojulari is. I think those guys are hard to find. That's why I picked Ojulari. I mean, again, I understand. People keep doing this. They keep taking positions and saying, Jared, we need a blank. Well, you can argue to me that Elijah Molden, the corner out of Washington, who would be available in Dane Brugler's mock draft in the second round, you can argue to me that the corner is a bigger need than wide receiver. And I will agree that corner is a bigger need than wide receiver. But I like the player, Rondale Moore, more than I like the player, Elijah Molden. And that's why I took Rondale Moore.
Another texter asks, you mentioned you didn't like Joseph Asai. Why not?
I don't. I mean, everybody I've talked to doesn't like him. TD doesn't like him. A coach who used to coach him doesn't like him. I mean, I keep hearing this like, you know, he's big and he just doesn't make enough plays for those guys. And once I hear that about somebody, once I hear doesn't make enough plays, or guys say, I mean, I've heard the same thing about Quiddy Pay, who is not on the board, the pass rusher out of Michigan, who's not on the board when the Titans pick at 21 in Dane and 22 in Dane Brugler's mock draft. Once I hear that, I sour on a guy. Like, I need production. You know, we've talked about this, you know, on this show before about Jamal Adams. And people say, oh my God, the Titans just need Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams is a hard-hitting linebacker who happens to play safety. He doesn't intercept the ball. He doesn't cover people. He didn't do that in college. Now, you want to blitz a safety? Jamal Adams is one of the best blitzing safeties in the league. You want to tackle a running back? He's one of the best running back tacklers at safety in the league. But don't match him up on Gronk. And I don't have interest in players like that. So I guess that's kind of how I felt. And that's another knock on Newsom, right? He defends the ball a lot in the air, but he has one career interception. So you know, production matters to me. Aziz Ojulari led the SEC in sacks. I don't take that for granted. When the Titans drafted David Long Jr. in the sixth round in 2019, I remember, you know how they hype everybody up even on the third day? You know, it's like, oh, and coming in at pick number 213, it's Johnny Joe out of Louisiana State. What do we think about him, Mel? Oh, I tell you what, he's the kind of guy who's going to be able to come down. He lacks the height and speed. He's going to come in right away, though. He's going to bring effort into your program. This is a guy who kind of profiles like an insert Pro Bowler here, and it's in the 200s. Like, Mel, that guy might not even make the roster. But that's how they hype it up. But when they were hyping up David Long Jr., they were talking about Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. I'm like, that's a pretty good conference. I know they don't play any defense in the Big 12. That's a pretty good conference. So those kind of things, you know, kind of matter to me. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get more of your reaction. 615-737-1025. Plus, why I have a hard time. I have a hard time with what everybody just loves as far as the Titans and the draft is concerned. I'll get onto that little tangent here in a little bit. ESPN 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer. Who doesn't love free beer? Tune in all day Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House, located at the Opry Mills Mall. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Mock drafts are out everywhere. Somebody, a buddy of mine, texted me who's a big Ohio State fan. I took Jonathan Cooper in the fifth round, an edge rusher. Team captain at Ohio State. Guys had some injury issues. My buddy who's an Ohio State fan goes, what a great fifth round pick. Are we going to get that out of you when it comes to LSU?
Oh, absolutely.
Are we really?
I am the biggest advocate for anyone who comes out of LSU.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though Christian Fulton got caught smoking weed?
Oh, so what? He smoked weed.
Agreed. Agreed that weed is not a big deal. You know, the idea of smoked weed, bad guy. By the way, I talked to somebody at LSU last year when that happened. I was like, hey, give me the skinny. Like what actually happened?
Right.
And they said, oh, well, what happened was Fulton really, he didn't smoke weed. He was just around weed.
Oh, yeah. So that's what they all say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was how I felt about all that. So Corey Curtis, News 2, just posted on his Twitter. Like, I guess NFL.com has a mock draft simulator. This is something that a lot of people love to do, are the mock draft simulators, which is basically what I did using Dane Brugler's mock draft. He has Tevin. This is Corey Curtis's mock draft. 22, Elijah Moore. Okay, fine. 53, Tevin Jenkins, the tackle out of Oklahoma State. Dane Brugler has him going at 20. Is that guy really going to be there at 53?
See, that's the thing, is all of these mock drafts are so different. I mean, we looked at Mike Tannenbaum's mock draft. He had Aziz Ojulari going at 11.
11.
Dane Brugler's had him going where, 23, 24?
Something like that, yeah.
Right.
Mel had him at 30 last week.
Right.
But that's still in the same round, though. This is Tevin Jenkins at 53. Kelvin Joseph, the corner at Kentucky, who I want to draft in the second round, who Dane Brugler has at 59, is still there at 85 in Corey Curtis's mock draft simulator. Jamin Davis, the linebacker at Kentucky, Corey takes with the 100th overall pick. I thought he was supposed to be a first-round pick. Like, in Mel Kiper's latest mock draft, I think Corey Curtis just took three first-round picks with the first, with 22, 53, and 100. And that's why I hate these mock drafts.
And you never know if a team is planning on drafting for need or if they're drafting just the best player, because that is what can make players fall. That's what can make players get drafted way higher than they should. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Mac Jones. So
you're going to have to get over this Mac Jones thing. Like, here's the thing about Mac Jones. I wouldn't pick him with the third overall pick. Now, I think he thinks he's getting picked third. And
I think he will get picked third.
I mean, then you got to give the guy a shot. I mean, when Daniel Jones went sixth, I thought that was stupid too. But, you know, Daniel Jones is going to get the shot. I mean, like, again, if you think a guy should be your starting quarterback, I was talking to a real estate agent about this yesterday because I was looking at a house, and I don't know if I've said this publicly. I'm a big house guy. Like, I'm a big home investor, especially in this city right now, because I think, you know, the real estate right now, even in places and parts of town that were just awful, I think that, and I'm talking about 10, 15 years ago that were just awful.
Right.
I mean, I think you buy there now and it'll skyrocket. But I was talking to a real estate agent about this the other day or yesterday. And he said, look, like if you find a plot of land that you want to eventually be the house that you build, that is the forever house, it's going to cost you money and you're not going to love it. Like you're not going to love spending the money, but if that's the house or the land you want, you got to spend the money. And I thought about it more and more and I'm like, makes sense to me. You know, makes sense that, hey, if you want to do, like, it's going to cost you if you want to do this. So you can all, people can say, hey, go get a corner, go draft this, go draft that. I mean, I can draft a that, but is it the one that I like? Because when Kansas City went out and drafted Patrick Mahomes, I'm not sure they like the price of paying another first round pick, but they love the house. So I think we have to kind of take the draft that way too. Of like, well, we need a tight end, Jerry. Well, I don't love any of these tight ends. Am I going to buy this house I don't like? Like, why would I pay something, a premium for something I don't like? For to pay a premium on something is for something that I will want.
And you also have to weigh both sides. It may not be the absolute best house of your dreams,
sure,
but it has enough bedrooms and it has a pool, which is pretty nice. And the price is lower than the other one. So is that worth getting maybe a smaller house, maybe a player who doesn't have as much, who hasn't had as much production in college, but you're going to get him for cheaper.
Sure. I mean, when I bought my last house, the house I lived in before this one, when I bought my last house, it was my first home that I bought, and I was looking in Green Hills. And I was doing a show that day with Braden Gall. And Braden is a big house hunting market guru guy. And he pulls up this chart, and he's got all these different areas of town where he's like, this right here is a hot area of town. So this, the property is going to increase by X amount percent at this time. This is why this one, this one, this one. Green Hills, which is where I ended up buying, he goes, that's not going up at the rate that the other places are going. And I said to Braden, I go, but I want to live in Green Hills. Like, that's where I want to live. Well, yeah, but the amount that it goes up, it's not right, but I want to live in Green Hills. That's no knock on Oak Hill or Westmead or Antioch or Brentwood or East Nashville or Germantown. I'm not knocking any of that, you know? But I'm just saying, like, that's where I wanted to live. And I think that's how I feel about some of these players. Like, why did you go wide receiver in the second round, Jared? We need corner. I like Rondale Moore. That's why I did it. Speaking of wide receivers, 615-737-1025. There's not a ton of info out there about the Titans. We got a little last week. We haven't discussed it yet. But there is a little info out there on the Titans and what they may be looking for in the draft. We'll get to that and analyze it next here on Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. Guess what season it is? It is moving season. If you're looking to move, you need to give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. At TriStar Moving, you'll get five-star service throughout the entire process. I know this because when I moved recently, I used TriStar Moving, and I absolutely love them. Everything, and I mean everything, was taken care of, from the floors to the banisters, railings, front door thresholds. You want that security deposit back if you're renting? TriStar Moving will make sure you get it. I absolutely love them. They'll wrap and protect all of your furniture and put all of your TVs into protective boxes. They took great care of my move and made it as stress-free as possible. They've also got a brand new state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet for all of you to use. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians, and they want to help you out any way they can. So give TriStar Moving a call, my guys, 615-640-1219. Or visit their website at nashvillemoving.org/radio. They'll even give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving at 615-640-1219. nashvillemoving.org/radio. TriStar Moving, my official movers.